Huckleberry Finn said, "Then Miss Watson, she took me in the closet and prayed, but nothing come of it. She told me to pray every day. Whatever I ask for, I will get. But it wasn't so. I tried. Once I got this one, it was loose. It wasn't any good to me without loose. I tried for the loose 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, right. We're talking about prayer, and we're talking about the opportunity we have to think about other people, and I'm looking at Huckleberry Finn on prayer. He went into the closet and prayed, but he said it just didn't do. He'd been told whatever he asked for, he would get. He said, "I tried it. Once I got a fish line, but no hooks. It weren't any good to me without hooks. I tried it, praying for the hooks 3 or 4 times. Somehow I just couldn't make it work. By and by, one day, I asked Miss Watson to try it for me. She said, 'You're a fool.' She never told me why, and I couldn't make it out no way. I sat down one time back in the woods and had a long think about it. I says to myself, 'If anybody can get anything they pray for, why don't Deacon Wynn get back the money he lost on pork? Why can't the widow get back her silver snuff box that was stolen? Why can't Miss Watson fat up?' 'No,' says I to myself, 'there ain't nothing to it.' I went and told the widow about it, and she said the thing a body could get by praying for, it was spiritual gifts. This was too many for me, but she told me what she meant. I must help other people and do everything I could for other people and look out for them and never think about myself. This was including Miss Watson, as I took it. I went out in the woods and I turned it over in my mind a long time, but I couldn't see no advantage about it, except for the other people. So at last I reckoned I wouldn't worry about it anymore, and I just let it go." Do you know any Huckleberry Finns in your life who tried it and said, "It weren't any good for me. I'm just going to let it go. I don't get what I want. And the only good that I can see in it is good for somebody else. It ain't good for me." Well, Abraham Lincoln saw things a little bit differently in 1863. He was under a lot of pressure in his life for a lot of reasons, and he said, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that all about me seemed insufficient for that day." And so Abraham Lincoln claimed to be and seemed to be a man of prayer. When I think about this guy that I have read about, his name was Cyrus Brown. I read about Cyrus Brown and his prayer. And here's what this says about Cyrus Brown. It said, "The proper way for a man to pray," said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, "and the only proper attitude is down on my knees." "No, I should say the way to pray," said Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes." "No, no, no," said Elder Sloth. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast and closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground," said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Cyrus said, "Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pinting down, and I made a prayer right then and there. Best prayer I ever prayed." He said, "The prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a standing on my head." Have you ever had one of those prayers, a standing on your head? What was the best prayer you ever prayed? What's the most meaningful prayer you ever prayed? I don't know what the most meaningful prayer I ever prayed was, but I continue to think back about a time out at Mid-South Youth Camp. We were having a counselor's retreat, an old counselor's retreat. People that had worked as a counselor and had come back, and they were sitting under the pavilion out at camp, and we were involved in a devotional. And then as we finished the devotional, we just were permitting the counselors to say anything that they wanted to say. Many of you visited at the visitation of Dr. Bob Landon this past week, and his sweet daughter Elizabeth was one of the counselors out there. And Elizabeth said during that meeting, "I'm just sitting here looking back." She had tears in her eyes, and she said, "I just believe when I was growing up, coming to camp, that God lived here." And she said, "Today, during this devotional, I look out and I see all the same sights I saw when I was a little kid. I still think God lives here." And she said it was the most meaningful place that she had ever worshipped. Do you have any place like that? You see, some of us might be like Cyrus Brown. It might take us falling into a well, standing on our head, before a prayer really, really means anything to us. As we think about what God says, if you just look at these two verses that I have encouraged us to think about, beginning in Matthew 6 and verse 5, they are just a couple of verses of many that we have that God helps us to see what makes for a meaningful prayer. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they might be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly." Is it special to pray in public? We have some people in this room that would not pray in public to save your life, I don't think. It seems like it's something super, super special or super spiritual in such a way that you do not feel worthy to say a prayer in front of anybody. Well, if you're a child of God, you just talk to your Father. You ask for what you need. You ask for what you think people in the audience need. The Bible teaches us lots of things about prayer. I just want to share with you in the next few minutes a few scriptures that just help us think about what either makes or does not make prayer meaningful to us. You want to pray a meaningful prayer, you're going to get the iniquity out of your heart. You're not going to be looking at things that are wrong, talking about things that are wrong, doing things that are wrong. You're not going to let your heart go there. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Secondly, we're selfish people. I've said to you before, and I'm not just saying it, I'm one of the most selfish people you know. And it's awfully, awfully easy to stand or sit or kneel, whatever posture I take in prayer, and just ask God to give to me. Give me a good day. Let my blessings be great. Let my relationships be great. We tend to ask for things that are going to be pleasurable for us, when very often the things that will be the most benefit to us are not real pleasurable at all, but are challenges, are difficult that we must face. And when facing them with the Lord and with other godly people, our lives are going to be so, so much better. So we need to think about what we're asking for. And a most meaningful prayer is going to be seeking things, sometimes for yourself. Let your requests be made known. Paul writes to the Philippian church. And so it's okay to ask for things. It's not wrong to ask for things. But when we begin to think about our pleasures and making our life so easy and keeping every problem away from us, God isn't interested in that prayer, and it will not be the most meaningful prayer that you will pray. I've said to you before, there's an old guy up in Perry County who, when it was not raining for a long period of time and very serious drought, much need for rain, they were going to get together and they were going to have a prayer service for rain at one of the churches there. And one good brother said, well, I'll tell you what, I will say a prayer and I will seek God's blessing about rain, but I'll tell you, it ain't going to happen as long as the wind is coming from the east. You see, we doubt that God is going to be able to do what we need done. And God tells us that He will. But He says, if you want your prayer to be meaningful, you ask in faith. You seek what God wants from you, trusting that God is going to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. That's what trust is about. Children ask parents for things, and it's not what parents can give sometimes. But parents will give what they believe their children need. When we doubt, we are like a wave of the sea that's tossed by the wind. I've been on a lake fishing one day, and the wind will be blowing me in a certain direction, and I catch fish, and I go back thinking, man, I'm going to get up there, and that old wind's going to drift me right into the fish, and the wind's blowing a whole different direction. You see, the water is going to go the direction of the wind, and so will you if you're just floating in a boat. And so we don't need to be like that. We need to trust God and let God be the one who is going to direct our lives. We seek and God will bless. Because, you see, we must not suppose that we will receive anything with words coming out of our mouth with doubt remaining in our heart. If you want a meaningful prayer, trust God. Often we have people who sin, who want God's blessings, but they don't want to listen to what God has to say. Listening to God's hard work, there's nothing easy about it. I think that's why Matthew 7:13 and 14 teach us about a wide gate and a broad way. It is so easy to go into that broad gate. And the way is easy. You can do anything you want to. You don't have to do anything at all. But Jesus said, the gate into this way to life is narrow, and the way is difficult. It's hard to maneuver through life in the way of life. And so we know that it's going to be hard. When we turn away our ear from hearing God's word, when we refuse to do what we need to do, what we must do sometimes, God isn't going to listen. If we're living a lifestyle that we know is wrong, our language isn't good, our habits aren't good, our worship process isn't good, and we know that, and we turn away from listening to what God has to say, you're not going to have a meaningful prayer. The most meaningful prayer you ever prayed is going to be when you turn your ear toward God and you want everything God has to offer. You can't shut your ear to the cries of the poor. As I've gotten older, I don't know if my mind is going away. I don't know if my heart is just hard in a way that we develop some kind of physical illness. But when I start thinking about the poor, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed about myself. I drive by people and I assume they don't really have to be begging. When somebody calls me and asks me for help from the church, I call Richard England and I say, Richard, here's a phone number. Call this person. When Richard says, okay, I go, I'm out of that one. I didn't want to mess with that person. Because, you see, some of those people, when you do mess with them, they don't smell very good. They don't look very good. They are not the kind of people that you want to sit by at church. We don't want that sort of thing here, do we? And so we don't treat people that have less than we do the way the Lord would have us treat them sometimes. You want a meaningful prayer? Open your ears to people that have needs. And don't assume that everybody that's asking really doesn't have a need, and they could be like you if they would just work. No, they couldn't. There are a lot of people that could never be as well off as you are. And there are many circumstances that would lead them to where they are. Do we confess and acknowledge that some people are lazy and shiftless, just don't want to work? We have to acknowledge that. But there's some people in real trouble. There's some kids that are hungry. There are people that have real needs. You want a meaningless prayer? You shut your ears up to the poor and you go about your way eating and drinking and the kinds of things that give you pleasure and don't worry about them. But if you want a meaningful prayer, open your ears to the cry of the poor. The Lord will listen to you in a far, far greater way. When I think about prayer and a meaningful prayer, I think about the need for us to be humble people. So easy to be prideful. So easy to be winners, to be on top, to have everything that we need, and most everything that we want. And we look at other people and we think, boy, that's a shame. I remember eating with a couple on one occasion, and they had money. They had taken Jan and me out to a super, super nice place. At that time, it's quite likely Jan and I would not have been in this restaurant if they hadn't invited and they weren't paying. Pretty expensive place. We were eating and enjoying a great meal, and then this guy blurts out, "I wonder what the poor people are doing tonight." I thought, wow, what a statement. You see, that exalts us in a way that we have no business being exalted, because we've been reminded many times that what we have is not our own. It all belongs to someone else. We're pretty blessed to have what we have. We're pretty important people in some ways, and yet when we stand before God, we're really nothing. We sing a song, used to sing, about God's grace, God's blessings, and how could He bless? We used to say, "Such a worm as I." Have you noticed we changed the words? It's too harsh for me to look at myself as a worm. Because, you see, that's my self-esteem, how I see myself. Am I just a worm before God? Am I that meaningless before God? You see, in my heart, I need to be in that humble a position, because I can do nothing for myself in a spiritual way. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So we need to be humble people. When we begin to think like the Pharisee thought, and if we aren't careful, we read that story and we say, what a sad guy. What a bum of a person that Pharisee was. But if we aren't careful, when we drive by someone who's begging, with a pretty long nose to look down sometimes as we look at that person. Or we see somebody that's not quite as clean, doesn't smell quite as good. You see, we exalt ourselves and we don't really want to deal with those people. You want a meaningful prayer? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. James says, He will lift you up. There's no lifting yourself up spiritually. You can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You can only permit God by your loving, thoughtful, humble obedience. You can only permit God to lift you up. I don't care how good looking you young people are. I don't care how smart you are. You can't lift yourself up. I don't care how important a job you parents have. You may be the biggest wheel in town. You cannot lift yourself up spiritually. Doesn't matter whether you have money or you don't. You can't lift yourself up. If you want a meaningful prayer, you need to humble yourself before God. You cannot have a meaningful prayer and be full of pride and thank God that you are not like those ugly, sinful, dirty, begging people. It just doesn't work. We have a world full of people who take advantage of other people. In one way or another, for some reason or another. That was true in the first century. The religious leaders, we're looking at religious leaders who took advantage, said this way in this passage, they devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Those two don't go together. Doesn't matter how long you pray, it will not be heard. It will not be meaningful if you live a life that takes advantage of other people. In fact, Jesus said these will receive a greater condemnation. You want a meaningful prayer? You treat people in the way that the Lord said. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And even if you're standing on your head then because they mistreat you, God will lift you up. He will give you what you need. As I think about praying and prayer, each of us, every one of us, we're in a great need for God to listen to us. And we must come to God. It's our responsibility to come to God. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Can't have rest from problems of a spiritual nature without God, without coming to God. I wonder how many in this room tonight are in need of a meaningful prayer. For one reason or another, what are your needs? If you need this congregation to pray with you, there's some good people in this room who can lead a meaningful prayer if you need that. If you need to seek God's blessing by having Him wash your sins away in the waters of baptism, repent of your sins. Come to Him. Do what is good and what is right. And then you can begin to pray the most meaningful prayers you've ever prayed. If you have a need, won't you come? Let's stand and let's sing.